God, we just want to see you this morning. Lord, we want to encounter you more than we have before. Lord, I just pray that as throughout the service, your presence will become more and more tangible this morning. Lord, we want to feel you. Lord, we are here for you, and we just set aside every distraction, every circumstance. Lord, we just put it to the side so that we can focus on you. We bring our attention to you this morning. Lord, would you see our hearts of adoration? Lord, would you just speak to our hearts this morning? Would you do what you want to do in this place? And we give you permission and free reign to do so. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. Amen. So good to be here and sharing with you all this morning. I do apologize for my voice. It's decided to break for no apparent reason. but hopefully it stays strong. Last night I was actually speaking at a youth camp down in Portsea, and I took Franco and a friend of mine, and we drove 2.5 hours to go speak with a bunch of youth, and it was lots and lots of fun. I was like, oh, do you guys have a stand that I could put my notes on? And they were like, it's a really good idea. Would you believe it's the one thing we forgot to bring? And so I was like looking around trying to work out what I could use for some type of stand. And they had this wheelie bin like to the side of the building. And I was like, oh, can I just use that? And like it looked clean. And I was like, I can just put my notes and rest it on that. It was probably like this height, so it worked. And so I like literally just start, I introduce myself to the kids, and then all of a sudden I see this cockroach like on this side, and I'm like I hate bugs. I hate bugs. And I'm like, don't freak out, don't freak out. It's like 150 kids, and I'm like trying to compose myself, and I'm like, Franco, I just couldn't. And so like he runs to the front and he grabs it, and all the kids are like laughing. They thought it was the funniest thing in the world. And I'm trying not to freak. And he, like, it falls on the ground. I'm like, step on it, like, just squish the bug. And he steps on it, and all the kids are like, yay! Like, it was his massive victory. But that was, yeah, a bit funny. And we just had a good laugh with the kids, and God was just so present and tangible. Like, it was just really overwhelming. And at the end of it, the kids responded to the message, and they're all like up the front, and they had their hands lifted high and giving everything to God. And they did this sharing time at the end. And this girl comes up and she's crying, and she grabs the microphone and she just says, the reality of God never always being with me just hit me. And I was gone. I was like so emotional, and she was just like, God really loves me. And she's like, and I never talk in front of everyone. I'm normally the one at the back of the group that doesn't talk. Like, I'm so shy. But everyone says that when you speak from your encounters, it empowers other people and brings them into an encounter. And I felt that God said, share that reality with everyone. And it just like exploded, like the heavens opened, and it was amazing. And it was just such a beautiful moment. And so that was just really cool to just see young people encountering God. And I'm just excited to see what's going to happen with all of us here this morning. And God is good. God is good. He is alive. He is well. He's moving in the hearts of young people. He's moving in our hearts now. He's going to continue. And I'm just always excited about what God can do, because he can do all things, which is amazing. So this morning we are continuing with the parables. This morning we're doing the light under the basket parable, or the lamp parable, as some people know of it. And it's found in Matthew 5 from verse 14. So we're just going to read that. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. I absolutely love this parable, and I want to come back to it in a moment, but I don't know if you guys ever think about it, I think about it. But there are some things that we all do in our private life that we don't do in our public life, yeah? There are those things that we do in our private that we just don't do in our public. For some people, they will never sing in public. They keep their singing to a shower or in their car with no one around. Like, for some people, singing is a very much a private thing. And last night, like driving up to Portsea, like Franco and Hannah are in the car, and for Franco, he doesn't sing in public. Like, it is a thing. He's like, nah, I'm not singing. Like, no one can get me to sing. And I was like, come on, just sing with us. Like, we're all singing at the top of our lungs. And he's like, nah, not singing. Like, it's just not the thing. And I put on his favorite song, and I'm like, that has to get him. Like, it was like one of those powerful God songs, like Waymaker. And he was tempted. Like, you could see he just wanted to sing, but he's like, no, I don't sing, Faith, not in public. And I was really sad, and I was like trying to like convince him to. And I thought, like, if I could, that means that we just broke through in our friendship. Like, we just got to a closer level. But he just doesn't sing in public. For some people, we don't cry. Some people don't like to cry in public. They keep that to their private life, which is totally fair enough. Me, I just cry everywhere. Like, if I'm watching a movie and I'm in the cinemas, like full on emotionals, mascara everywhere, all smudged. If I'm at a conference and God's moving, like just crying everywhere, I cry in public. That's just me. But there are things that we do in our private life that we don't do in our public. But we just read this parable where Jesus says, you are the light of the world. He says, we are the light of the world, not the light of a private place. Yeah? The world is a public place. The world is on display for everyone to see. And he says, you are the light of the world. Jesus says, neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand for everyone to see. In the same way, let your light shine before others. Shining our light is meant to be something on display, not something for us to turn on while being under a bowl. It's not something that we turn on that's meant to be hidden for no one to see. And for me, I've just been thinking about that. Like, what's stopping us from turning on our light? What's in public? And, you know, the more I think just about what Jesus did and what we can do, the more I believe that we actually can change the world. I believe that it only takes one person. And as I say that, I wonder how many people laugh it off in their mind and say, oh, that's a nice notion, Faith. Yeah, I'm sure people can change the world, or I'm sure I can change the world. Maybe someone else, but not me. I wonder what if that thought is running in your head right now. So much of the world has lost its belief in itself because of insecurities of what people may think. People are consumed in fear. And in some ways, the world has lost its belief that an ordinary person can change the world. But for me personally, I truly believe that every single one of us can actually change the world. There is no doubt in my mind that that can't happen. I believe that I can change the world. And I don't say that in a boastful way. I say that confidently because of what Jesus says I am and who Jesus says that we all are. Can we agree that Jesus changed the world? Yes. I'd hope so. I'd be really worried if you didn't think that Jesus didn't change the world, because he did. And he was one person, and he changed the world. And then in John he says, whoever shall believe in me will do greater works than I. Greater works than I. And he was one person. And yet he's saying to us, if you believe in me, you will do greater works than I. What does that say about the ability we can actually do to change the world? I read that and I'm filled with hope and belief. Can you imagine the influence we actually carry if we were actually to recognize and believe in ourselves? Can you imagine us as a people turning on its light, being confident that we have that ability and being able to say, this city, Roxor Park, Craigieburn, actually saved? But unfortunately, so much of the world, maybe even some of us today, have brought into the fact that Christianity is meant to stay in our private life. But Christianity was never meant to be in our private life or just be in our private life. It was meant to go in public. Christianity is meant to be in public. And how can we be the light of the world in our private life if it just remains in there? It stems from there, but it needs to be on display in the public world. And this morning, Jesus looks at you and I and he says, "You are the light of the world." And this is why this is so profound. Here is why the analogy of light is so important to understand. And from this revelation, there is something that we need to understand of why Jesus used the analogy of light. There's a revelation in this for all of us here this morning. Let me explain. One of the lies that we've brought into as a church or even as a generation is that there is somehow this competition between light and darkness. That there is this battle between light and dark. And we somehow believe that the reason our cities aren't safe, it's because it's a dark city. And it's funny, I've got a friend who's a pastor and he goes to church and he was telling me a few stories. And he was saying that some churches or even ministers, they blame their ability to break out in a city because their city is really dark. They're like, "You don't understand. The crime rate in this city, it's really, really high. Like super high, super high." Or they blame it on, what else do they blame it on? I had all these things. Drug and alcohol abuse. They blame it on all these different things and they say that is the reason why we can't break out into the city. And I remember him telling me that and I was just kind of laughing to myself a bit. And I was just like, that's not a thing. And I really don't understand that, because the reason that their cities aren't saved, it's not because the place is really dark, but it's because someone's light is not on. And sure, it's part of it. Yeah, we need to recognize and be aware that like our city is a dark place, that there is stuff going on. I know for me, I listen to the needs of my community. I know the statistics of Wallen and Roxford Park. I know the family violence rate is really, really high. I know that a lot of young people are disengaged from schools. I know a lot of things, but it helps me be aware. And from knowing that, it actually tells me where I need to be. It tells me where I need to be a light in. It doesn't determine how I can break out in a city. I just need to be in a dark place and boom, the light is there. And so there is no battle between light and darkness. There is no struggle, but somehow people think there's an actual battle going on. It's like me saying to all of you, "Hey guys, we're just going to crouch down for a bit before we, and we're going to turn our light on, but we've just got to wait to see who wins and then we can be the light." It's like, let's turn the light on and we're going to see it be light, dark, and see who wins. It doesn't work like that. The moment you turn light on, darkness has to flee. It has to leave. Light is superior to dark and dark is inferior to light. There is no choice if darkness can win over light. Light always wins. And so when I hear people say, "It's just my city is too dark. It'll be a while before the light breaks out." Someone just needs to turn their light on. A city just needs to turn their light on. A people, a church need to turn their light on and their cities will be saved. Church, is your light on this morning? Because we are called to be a city on a hill. I'm going to read the parable again. Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." Do you know that light shines darkest in the dark? If I was to have a torch, I actually wish I brought one now, but if I was to have a torch right now and actually turn it on, you'd notice it, but it wouldn't shine that bright because this room's already light. It's full of light. And so it's kind of like even these little lights, if you were to turn them off, this place would still be light. It just adds to what is already there. But if I was in a dark place and to shine a torch and turn it on, it would be the brightest light. A torch, a light shines brightest in the darkest place. It's kind of like when we're driving a car at nighttime. You turn on the lights. You should turn on the lights if you're driving on at nighttime. But you turn the lights on and all the bugs come flying in your dashboard. So annoying. Like, especially if I'm like in a country road and they're like zoom, 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 and they're like splashing their guts all over my windscreen. So annoying. I'm like, I just washed my car. Like, so frustrating. But they are attracted to the light. People are attracted to your light. There is light and hope in you. There is love in you. That is the light that you carry when you turn on, when you turn it on. And so I read that parable and then I think about how powerful light is. And of course I'm going to believe that we can all change the world. Of course I can believe that all of us here can actually make an impact in this city and be the light on the hill. So church, will you make your light a light for public use? I've grown up in the church since I can remember. Since I was a baby, I was at church every Sunday. I was at youth. And I've come to see that there are two groups of people. There are those who have walked away from their faith, or they come and go from their faith. And then there's this second group of people who live and remain in this constant connection with God. And these people who live and remain in this constant connection with God literally are the light of the world. And they live this life that I call a life of constant surrender. And I truly believe it takes living a life of constant surrender to be the light of the world. Because like our faith, it is a lifetime journey. Our relationship with Him is a lifetime journey. And when we're living in this lifetime journey of our faith, of constant surrender, our light automatically will stay on. Because we're living in this consistency. We're living in this life of continuous connection with the Father. But something else that I've also learned is that it is easy to surrender your life to God in a moment. Whether it be a church in a church service, or whether it be at home in your bedroom or in a conference, in that moment, it's very easy to say, yes, God, have it all. My whole life is yours. And in that moment, that yes is true. It is real. It's a real desire from our heart. Of course, God, we want to give you everything. But then life and circumstances and hardship happens and it becomes a bit too much and we start to fade. Our connection with God starts to fade and we retreat from God rather than running to Him. And as we fade away from God, so does our light start to fade. And it's that circumstance or hardships that stops that person from living a life of constant surrender, which then stops them from being the light of the world. I don't know about you, but my dream is to see a generation live a life of constant surrender that isn't moved by hardships or circumstances. Can you imagine a generation, us as Roxford Park Community Church, if we were to live this lifestyle of constant surrender, to live this life that is in constant connection with God, and that it wouldn't be moved by circumstances or hardship? Can you imagine Roxford Park Community Church remaining in God and having a higher purpose than ourselves? You guys would be the key to saving this city and this region. I don't want to see any of my family and friends perish. I don't want to see young people losing their hope and faith in God. And to be honest, I don't have time for another good sermon. I don't have time just to play games and have some fun. I don't have time just to give this Christianity thing 50%. Jesus gave 100% of his life for all of us, not 10% of us. And this morning, Jesus is wanting all of us. He is wanting a people, Roxwood Park Community Church, to live a life of constant surrender and to remain in Him. And when we do that, we'll become the light of the world and we'll be the city on the hill, and darkness will have to flee. Darkness will have to bow. And so this morning, if you are wanting to be the light of the world, then this is the key. This is the key to being the light of the world. The condition of your heart is directly connected to you being the light of the world. The condition of your heart is directly connected to your ability to be able the light of the world. Being a light of the world takes you, it takes me living this life of constant surrender. And it's from that place that we receive the ability to be able to be the light of the world. But it all comes back to the heart. It's from the heart that we want to live this life of constant surrender, which out of that overflows being the light of the world. So where's our heart this morning, church? Where is your heart? In Matthew 12:34, it reads, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So again, where is your heart? Because the abundance of your heart is where your heart remains and lives. What kind of things are coming out of your mouth when you're going through circumstances and hardships? Are you speaking fear? Are you speaking intimidation or hopelessness? Or are you speaking life and reaching out to Christ and holding on to His promises? Are you remaining in Him? Because it's from remaining in Him that you will be able to live a life of constant surrender and become the light of the world. For those who don't know, I started studying again 3 weeks ago. Yay! No. And I'm doing my post-grad. I'm 3 weeks in. I've done one reading from week one. Not promising. No, I'll get there. But I've done one reading, and this one reading, it was actually really good. And I was like, study can actually be really good sometimes. But it was this reading about creating habits. And the author defined a habit as the intersection of knowledge, skill, and desire. So that's his definition. The definition of habit is the intersection of knowledge, skill, and desire. Knowledge is the what to and the why to. Skill is the how to. And the desire is the want to, the drive. And he says to be able to make a change, to make a habit, we need to be motivated by a higher purpose. Without the motivation of that higher purpose, we're not going to care. We're not going to care enough to make the change, to make something a habit that continues, that stays a habit. And so he says that, and I'm reading that, and I say, wow, out loud to myself, like, that was so good. And all of a sudden it made sense. Because I was saying before, it's easy to give your life in a moment. It's easy to be motivated in a moment. But a moment is literally that. A moment fades. But if we are motivated by a higher purpose in a moment, then that moment turns into momentum, and that momentum turns into a movement. A movement of us being a light of the world. Because we're motivated by a higher purpose, and we want to be that city on the hill that sees darkness flee and light shines for everyone to see. That is the higher purpose. If we are motivated by that, we're going to want to make this thing of living a life of constant surrender a habit that we constantly live in and through, because we want to be that city on the hill. We want to see that city saved. And so being the light of the world takes remaining in Him. It's not I'll decide now to remain in Him. It takes remaining in Him all the time. John 15 from verse 5 reads, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you did not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's command and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I've learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to be the light of the world. I appointed you so that you may go and bear fruit, and fruit that will last. Fruit that will last. And so here's the thing. The more time you spend with God, the more that your heart starts to align with his. You literally become one, and that's the remaining in him. And when you do that, you start to see what God sees. You start to grow a heart for what God has a heart for, and his words, the word of God, becomes engraved in your heart. And so your heart literally starts to sync with his. And we are actually designed and created to be in sync with the Father's heart. Most of us here would have either had a baby or seen a baby born, whether it's a sibling or family or friend. We've all seen a baby. Yeah, newborn. Yes. A few. Yes. Okay, we'll just keep on going. But we've all seen a baby born. And from the very start of its birth, it is learning things. It is learning how to open its eyes. It is learning how to breathe. It's also learning the concept of appropriate timings for when to beat its heart. Dr. Andrew Groom says that the baby's heart would sync their heartbeat with its mother or father normally. In the first few contacts, when the whether it's the human being, the mother or father, whoever it is, as soon as they carry the baby and the head rests on its chest, it literally uses that to sync its heartbeat to theirs. And so it teaches itself to condition its heart to that. And that's how it learns how much to beat its heart. And so he says that in some cases where there's a prolonged amount of time before the baby comes in physical contact with a human, some babies can actually die. And this is what they call a cot death. And it's because they haven't yet learned how to recondition its heart. And so some doctors say that the feeling, the emotional response of feeling abandoned, and then the physical side of not having a heart close enough to condition its heart to, is sometimes too much for the newborns. And I remember just reading this, and I actually got really emotional. I'm like, wow, that is actually so powerful. And I'm just thinking about that, it's actually no different with us. The longer we stay away from the Father, the less our heart beats like his. The longer we stay away from the Father, the more out of sync we become. And we start to lose heart for what he has a heart for. We start to not be able to see what he sees. The desire of wanting to be the light of the world fades away because we're not in constant connection with the Father, who reminds us every day of the higher purpose we all have, which is to be the light of the world. And so this morning, right now, God is asking us not just to have a moment with him, but a moment that is motivated by a higher purpose that will bring you to this place of starting to live a life of constant surrender that isn't moved by circumstances or hardships. And the result, the fruit of that will be you being a city on a hill. You remaining in him and giving your whole life to God, the result of that will be the light of the world. And when you're that, darkness has to flee. It has to bow. The higher purpose is the light of the world. That is the moment. That is what God is calling us to right now. This is the higher purpose that is going to motivate you to decide, I want to be that. I'm going to live this life of constant surrender. I'm going to remain in Him so that my light will shine for all to see. So where are we at this morning? Where is our heart? How important is being the light of the world to you? How important is it truly? Because if it is, I should never be able to tell that your light goes from being on and off. If being the light of the world, the city on the hill, seeing darkness flee is really important, every single one of us would have our light that stays on all the time. Our Christianity would be this thing that always stays on to be on display for the whole world, just as much in our private life as well as in our public life. If I can ask James to come on the keys. Jesus says you are the city of the hill. Jesus says to remain in me and you will bear fruit. Remain in me. Remain. Don't run away. Don't let circumstances and hardships create this barrier between you and God where your connection with Him starts to fade and so your light. When circumstances and hardships happen, which they do, I'm not hiding that fact, we all go through really hard things. From that place, we're meant to run in the arms of the Father. We're meant to stay and remain in Him. Because in that, that's where He gives us the strength. That's where He gives us the joy. And our light will stay shining even in those hard circumstances. You know, last night at the camp, I was sharing my story. A lot of you have heard it with my stepdad being abusive. I told them about me being bullied for a lot of my life. And I was really real. This was my life. But even in that, I saw so many of my friends come to faith. Even in the darkness of my life, I would continue run to the Father. Because honestly, He's all I had anyway. But I would run to Him. I wouldn't run away. And it was in that space that He gave me the ability, the strength to keep my light on, not to run away like some of my other Christian friends. Before I said that there are two types of people. People who come and go from their faith or walk away completely. Or there are those who live this life of constant surrender who have decided, I'm going to remain in God. I'm going to give 100% of my life no matter what happens so that I can be the light of the world and see my city saved. This is important. This should be the most important thing. The most important thing. It shouldn't be just about ourselves. It needs to be about everyone else. I don't want to see my family and friends perish. I don't want to see my youth perish. I want them to know that even in their darkest moment, God will give them strength. And more than that, He will turn that hardship into something good. He will turn that thing into something good that will bring Him glory and see His children come home. This needs to be our motivation. This needs to be the higher purpose, because when it is, we will give everything easily. For me, it is easy to give my whole life to Christ because this is more important to me than anything else. I will give everything to my young people, to you, because that is the most important thing. And it needs to be for us. So how real is this parable to us? How much do we want to be the city on the hill? And so we're going to sing in a moment, and we're going to sing Alabaster Heart, and I want us to sing that bridge. All my love, Lord, you can have it all. All my heart, all my soul, all I own, Lord, you can have it all so that I can be a city on the hill and save this city, a nation saved. You have the ability to change the world. No matter what age you are, whether you're really young or really old, it doesn't matter. You are the city on the hill. We together as a combined light. Imagine the world that we can light up. So let's all stand this morning. If I can get the team up. And we're going to respond to God. We're going to respond to this call. And He's inviting us to have this moment of remembering and encountering the higher purpose that we're all called to be the city on the hill. But I also want to recognize that for some of us, maybe we are going through some hardship and circumstances. And God is with us in that. And He's saying, run to me. Don't run away from me. Run to me and remain in me, and I will turn it into good to bring me glory, and I will make you a city on the hill. I will make you the light of the world. And so we're going to sing these songs and we're going to respond to that. There's an invitation for you to be, you know what, 100% God, you can have it all. Turn my life into good so that it may see my city and nation safe. Turn my life into good so that it may see my family and friends safe. Let this parable come alive in you, because it is the most important thing. Most important thing. Come on, let's sing. All my love, you can have it all.